Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast.
And we haven't done this in a long time, but I want to begin this way today. If you'll take your Bible or your tablet or your phone, wherever your Bible is located that you have today, I'd like for you to lift it up, if you would do that, all over the place. If you're sitting next to someone who has their Bible open, you can just raise your hand along with them. You're making a declaration today. And so I want you just to, if you would, just lift it high. Phones, tablets, Bibles, and if you're sitting, you're sharing with somebody, just lift your hand up, all right? And I want you to just repeat after me. Say, this is the Word of God. It teaches me that God is for me. Jesus is with me. His Holy Spirit is in me. And His angels are all around me. This is good news. Tell the person next to you, this is good news. All right, we in 1 John. We in 1 John this morning. Chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4. Now, we've been going through this. We've preached a sermon from each of these chapters. Of course, there are many, many sermons that can be preached as we consider each verse. But I've been trying to let the passage speak to me about what I needed to share with you on these Sunday mornings. And so as we look at chapter 4, I want us to begin, though, in my reading of the text from chapter 3, verse 24, the last verse of chapter 3, because it really continues to verse 6, the particular theme that John is dealing with here. So beginning with verse 24 of 1 John 3, now if you would, stand with me for the reading of God's Word. We did that last week. Let's do that again today. And maybe that can, if I can remember, that maybe can be custom for us to do so. All right, verse 24 says, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in this flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know that the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his word this morning. You can be seated. This is a rather obvious statement that I will make, but obviously not everything that you hear is true. I had someone tell me one time, they said that if it wasn't true, it wouldn't have been in the newspaper. And you wonder why I don't have any hair. Our oldest son, Caleb, he's comical now. Let me just say that. But as a little kid, he would say some incredible things as well. Now, Caleb loved infomercials. the famous infomercials. He would always, in fact, for Christmas and birthdays, he would want what was on infomercials. So, I mean, he wanted the DR trimmer more. Anybody remember those infomercials? Probably should have got it, actually. But the DR trimmer more. But for Christmas one year, some of you heard me say this years ago, but he wanted the static duster. The static duster. You know what I'm talking about? They were green. And they just picked up dust like crazy. They had every size. That's what he wanted for Christmas. So he got static dusters for Christmas. That was a primary gift. He was pumped about it. One day he said to me, he said, "Daddy, you know, you can't believe everything they say on those infomercials." Yeah? You can't. I'm sad to tell you, you can't believe everything that somebody in the name of God says as well. This is what John is talking about. John is concerned with what we are hearing and what we are giving our attention to. He's concerned that we listen for the right things. He's a Christian psychologist. His name is Tim Clinton, and along with, I couldn't remember the other person that was writing this with him said, but he talked about in our day how there is a smorgasbord of spiritualism and spirituality. Now, how many remember when the restaurant Duff's Smorgasbord? Now you're talking about putting age on you. That'll do it. So just be real about it. Just raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, we all real about our age right now. But when that came along, you know, there really wasn't, you didn't know of buffets really. And I mean, it was just restaurants. There was restaurants, but that was a buffet, and it turned. You remember how it turned? So you better not, when the shrimp came, you better not miss it, because by the time it got back around, hopefully they had refilled it, or maybe you just had to stand there a while, and you had all these little things you would stand in as that turned from the kitchen back to where you was getting it, but it had all this food on it. And we know in more recent times there's that kind of thing became more popular in different buffets and things like that. But Tim Clinton was saying that there's a smorgasbord of spirituality and spiritualism. And there's so much that people can, if they're not careful, they'll begin to partake of in this world that we live. And sometimes thinking that it is that would be healthy and that would be pure, that would be good for them, but yet they partake of it. But it also comes from a starving generation of people, and that it has been since the beginning of time. But we know it in our own generation. And it really speaks to a hunger that people have because there's a void within them spiritually. There's a spiritual hole within the hearts of individuals, and they start looking for something else. They're looking for some kind of revelation of some kind, some kind of even in the form of self-help, and not just in the religions of the world, but people looking for something in the spiritual buffet of life. And that leads to a lot of erroneous beliefs, and in terms of even if we're not careful, even of those who may profess Christianity, if they're not careful, if their appetite is not right, their appetite might be for that is not in the written word. So So I just want to as a background for it all, to just kind of bring us to where we are in John's writing here in 1 John. John speaks of the light and how that Jesus is the light of the world, and that he declared that in the Gospels. He says it again to us in, when we open the book of 1 John, and he's wanting us to have fellowship with the Lord in the light. And he talks about us walking in love here, in the love of God, because God is love, and he first loved us and giving his only begotten Son. And we are to love God with all of our heart, but we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. In this chapter 4, in the part that we're not going to read today, after we get past verse 6 and into 7 and the rest of the chapter, he talks there about love again, and we're to and he says that we're to love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. But he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Love is important, but he's concerned, and we've talked about how that we really know, we need to really know the Lord, and there's a test of knowing him. And because if we say we know the Lord and that we love the Lord and we know him, but do not the things that he says do, he says that we don't know him. We don't, his love is not abiding in us. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so we're with all of that as a background today, and John's wanting to make sure that we are developing spiritually. He's wanting to make sure that we're growing spiritually, and he warns us of the spiritualism of the world and the things that might, the false prophets that may come, and they will come. It's clear here. We know it from life. And so it is. We need to prepare our hearts, and how do we respond? And there's four aspects that as we walk with God that we need to consider today, and that begins in verse 1 of chapter 4 when he says to us, beloved, John said, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Now I want you to see the word spirit there. And understand that spirit here with a small s here. He's talking about the influence behind a thing. What is the motivating spirit? Is it of God or is it of evil? What motivates it? So he's not talking about, he's talking about what is motivating. What is it? What is it? Is it good or evil? Is it God or evil? What is the motivating spirit? What is the motivation behind it? Okay. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So he's saying to the believers here, he's saying to Christians, test the spirit. So we must test the spirits. We must do that. And so the title of the message today is the test results. But because we are to test the spirits, and it matters what the test results find. Now that's the test results is a phrase that is very common in our day. There seems like there's a test for everything, that whether it's medically, certainly in our educational systems, for whatever we might be doing, whether it was in school growing up, even on your jobs now in continuing education, or tests that you do in terms of products that you are making sure that they are sufficient to sell. People test the quality of those, hopefully. And so there's testing that goes on continually. So we're used to that language. Here he's saying you need to test the spirits. You need to test the motivations of what you are hearing. This is particularly what he's saying. You need to test the motivations of what the teacher is teaching and what you're hearing and ultimately what you are adhering to. You need to test that to make sure that it's in line with God, that it is right. Because we're concerned today with being followers of Jesus Christ, and we don't want anything to knock us off of that. We don't want anything to distract us from being followers of Jesus Christ. So we've got to be careful, because this is just a part of the world. This is just a part of our living here. Notice it again. Do not believe every spirit. Don't believe everything that you are hearing. Pay attention to the motivation of that, whether they are of God. Figure out, we got to test it to see if it's of God, because there are many false prophets that have gone out into the world. There's many in the world. There was many in the first century when John wrote this. There are many in our day. And the communication that we have in our days with all of the media that we have that goes into different homes and in a myriad of ways, it is prevalent everywhere. False teaching. Now, verse 2, so I want you to, first part, we must test, okay? After we know this, that we must test, how do we go about testing? That's what John starts saying. Now, how do we test that? Verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Now, if you have your Bible, you can just flip over to chapter 2 for a moment. You noticed here he talked about the spirit of Antichrist here. Now, there is coming a day in the tribulation period of time, and there'll be an Antichrist that is revealed in the last day. There's a person that the Bible tells us of that will be an Antichrist leader in the last days. But even he said in John, saying in the first century, there was already the spirit, the motivation of the Antichrist. There's this Antichrist spirit that is in the world. We see it. Wouldn't you agree with me? We see that all over our world that we live in. An Antichrist spirit. It's obvious. We see that. It abounds. Now, but what we need to understand what that is ultimately. Now, he's telling us here that this Antichrist spirit is denying that Jesus is the Christ, that he is God and yet human. You see, what happens is there are those that would like for us and they challenge his humanness. And they say on one hand, no, he's God, but he was not fully human. On the other hand, there would be perhaps those that would say, well, he was fully human, but he was not God. He was not God. There are major religions in the world that challenge this, and I'll call those out. I don't always do that, but I'll call them out. Of course, Muslims do not believe that Christ Jesus, they say he was a man of history, but Muslims deny that he is God. Jehovah's Witness deny that he is fully God. Mormonism denies that he is fully God. That this is, you know, and you say, well, I know this person, that person, they don't think that way, whatever. All I'm telling you is, In the doctrinal statements of these organizations, I'm not speaking against any person. Do you understand what I'm saying here? What I'm telling you is that ideology and that spirit, those religions deny the deity of Christ, that he is fully God and fully man. When the Bible says Jesus Christ, the Christ aspect of that is Messiah, God. That's why it's important. He's not just Jesus born in Bethlehem, but he was Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah who was conceived in the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit of God. He is fully God and fully man. This is the message of the gospel, because if it were not so, if he died on the cross and was not fully man, not fully God, he could not have taken our sins upon himself. This is huge. This matters. This makes a difference. This is not something you can just be casual about. This is true. The whole idea of the virgin birth, you cannot be a genuine believer in Christ and deny the virgin birth. Because it was God's Son, his only begotten Son. It was not of the seed of man, but the seed of God himself in the Holy Spirit. And so, this is it. But I want you to notice this. Going back to chapter 2, I'm going to look, verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour. Chapter 2, verse 18. It is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. And if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. It wasn't just that these people had left the church to go find a new church. They had left the faith and denied the faith. Verse 22, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. You see, there's people that I love that don't believe that. But I love them enough to declare to you that that is not in alignment with the Word of God. It's not in alignment with the Word of God. And so that's what makes the difference here. And this is very clear, very clear. And I just want you to see that. But in verses 2 and 3, if you was going to underline anything, it's the word confess and confesses. Confess and confesses. See, because when we are listening to teachers of the Word, it matters what they are confessing. It matters what they're teaching. It matters what their confession is of faith. Likewise, it matters what we confess and what our confession is. But here he's saying, every spirit, verse 2, that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. What is that teaching? So when we say we must test, in verses 2 and 3, the second point of this message is we must believe. We must believe. We must believe. If our test results are going to be right in our own life, we've got to believe that he is the Christ, that he is fully God, he is fully man. But we also got to consider, when we're testing the spirits, that what is it that we are hearing? Now, this is not the only warnings of Scripture. This just happens to be fundamental and primary here, but there's other things that we always need to consider, because if it's in the Word of God, the teaching of the Word, we want to have believe in what the Scriptures say. We want to believe what Scripture says. But this right here is huge in our world today. Huge. So just notice that you see that word confess and confesses. Verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And so that the fact of Jesus Christ, again, Christ, that's key to that. Messiah, God. He's Jesus the Christ. What did Peter say? Who do men say that I am? When he asked Peter those words and the disciples those words, they were saying, well, some say you're Elijah, some say this. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus affirmed, you said it right. That's it right there. You said it. You made the declaration. I am Christ, the Son of the living God. So confession matters. So we must test. We must believe. Our confession must be right. And then look at verse 4. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So you must test, you must believe, and point 3 is you must recognize. You must recognize. So here again, verse 4, we must recognize what? We must recognize the fact that he that we're speaking of, who is the Christ, Jesus, that he is in us. And because he is in that he is in us, he who is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Now I want you to just see the greatness of God here. Because if we're going to be an overcomer, we notice here verse 4 again, he said, little children, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who's he talking about? The them. It is that spirit of the world, that spirit of the world, that spirit of Antichrist in the world, that spirit of false prophecy in the world, that spirit of that does not cling to the to Christ, that the spirit that does not cling to the teaching of the apostles and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and biblical authority. It is that kind of thing that we must overcome. We must overcome the deception of the world. We must overcome all of that will attack our what we believe and what the scriptures declare. And we must overcome that, he's saying in verse 4. But this is how it's overcome. He says, you've overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We don't overcome because we're smarter than everybody. We don't overcome because we took a class. We don't overcome because someone delivered us. We overcome here because as believers, as followers of Jesus, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. That's how we overcome. We overcome by him. This is just another of the reasons why it's impossible for someone who is a believer to be demonically controlled on the inside. I'm telling you, if greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world, I want to tell you, he's greater. If he's greater, he's greater. And when light descends upon the soul of man, darkness cannot comprehend it. Darkness cannot stand that. Darkness must run and flee. And so when all of hell is raged against us, when false prophecy comes from left and right, it's not going to be my intellect that gets me through the day. It's not going to be just having you to pray over me that gets me through the day. What's going to be is the fact that I am born again. And because I'm born again, the power that is within me, who is Jesus, is greater than that is in the world. Listen. This is it. This is it.
Man, this clock. I hate clocks. Give me Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40, beginning with verse 21. Listen, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. We go to verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. I want to tell you there in Isaiah 40, 21 through 29, we need to read it again and again and again, because His power is unmatchable. His power is beyond any power that's in the world. That's why the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 2, hey, he said, I'm determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm determined in the midst of a world of all kinds of stuff, I'm determined that I'm going to cling to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm going to cling to Him. I'm going to glory saving the cross of Jesus Christ. This is what it's all about. This is what He's declaring here. Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. We see here it says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become His counselor? Or who is first given to Him and it shall be repaid to him? For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. 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 So here it is. We must test. We must believe. We must recognize that we overcome by the Spirit of the Lord. Now I just want you to look back to verse 24 of the previous verse. It said, now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in Him, and by this we know that He abides in us. By the what? Spirit, whom He has given us. And then in verse 4, we see the greatness of God, or the greatness of the Spirit of God. That's how we overcome. And then we look at verses 5 and 6. And there, we see not only we must test, and we must believe, and we must recognize, but verses 5 and 6 say we must listen. We've got to listen. We've got to listen to the test results here. They are of the world. Therefore they speak as of the world. And the world hears them. You see, when you don't have that spirit abiding in you as a believer, you can get caught up in it. And you'll hear it. You and I should be alert to it. This is not right. This is wrong. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He's saying, you that know God, you hear us. He's talking about the apostles, Himself. He's one of the disciples. He said, y'all hear us. Y'all hear the Scriptures. Y'all hear us as teachers because you're one of us. We're together in this. You hear us. So it's very important for us to believe in biblical authority. It's important. You've got to believe this over a backslidden professor. You have to believe this over a backslidden preacher. You got to believe this over just some guy that knows some stuff about the scriptures. If they're saying what is contradictory to the written word, you cling to the written word, even if it's your family member. He who knows God hears us, but who is not of God does not hear us. But this we know. So what I'm saying to you, on one hand, the spirit of the Antichrist, these people are lost. Would you agree with me what I'm saying? When you don't believe in the deity of Christ, that he is fully God, full of man, you're not a Christian. You're not born again. But also, we just have to understand biblical authority. I just want us to grab hold of that too. It's about the Word of God, you know. And so there are different people who have different views upon certain scriptures, but we hold to the fact that of the primary things. So we're all learning. There's some things and some viewpoints that we may have differently sometimes on issues. There's different opinions about different nuances, but what I'm telling you is when it gets down to the nitty-gritty about who Jesus is, we got to believe the same about that. Does that make sense to you? You know, there's different denominations that I have brothers and sisters in that I may view something differently than they do. But when it comes to Jesus, we've got to see that. We got to see that exactly the same. We got to see that exactly the same. So, just in summarizing what we just said, if you'll look at verses 1 through 3, 1, 2, and 3, we see there that's the test, really. Or I can put it another way. That is giving us a warning there in those first three verses. Verses 4, 5, and 6 should give us confidence. I want you just to see that. Verses 4 through 5 and 6 give us confidence as believers. So on one hand, we're warned about the spirits, and there's that test that's going on. But I want to tell you what happens in 4, 5, and 6. I get rest. There's a test, but I'm thankful for rest. And my rest is in the person of Jesus Christ this morning. Is that your rest today? That's my rest, is in Him. I want to tell you, if you're not resting in Jesus today, believe and follow Him. Believe and follow Him. I heard it said, I don't know if you've ever watched one of these nature programs, and particularly the ones where penguins, they're quite an unusual bird. That bird don't fly. But old penguin, they'll sometimes gather out on those big icebergs. They say there could be 1,000 of them out there. And what those scientists say is that there'll be mother penguins and will have their children. And out there in 1,000 of them, and they're all mixed up, that all those mothers have a particular chirp. And her babies will hear her chirp, and they'll come to where she is. Well, I want to tell you, there's a bunch of chirping going on today in our world. And God is saying to us, I want you to hear my voice. I want you to hear my call. The Holy Spirit is saying to us, and I want to tell you, we that abide in Him, according to verse 24, we that are abiding in Him, we that believe in Him, we that are following Him, we can hear His chirp. We can hear His voice. We that are abiding in Him belong to Him. And you can have confidence in the now and confidence when you stand before God in judgment. Father, we rest today in you. 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 As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you're here today and you say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow him. I want to make that declaration today. I want to receive him. I want to follow him. I want to give my heart to him. I want to be born again today. I'm going to repent today of my sins because the Spirit of the Lord is dealing with me and I want to come to him now. If that's you, would you slip up your hand? If you'll slip up your hand, thank you. Somebody else, you'll just slip up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Just thank you. Thank you. God sees you. He knows. I want to tell you, this is beautiful. He said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Father, in the name of Jesus, you saw these three hands. But God, what's going to make the difference now, Lord, is that from their heart right now, they'll repent. That means turn from your sins and believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he, because he was God, took and he was fully man. He was able to take all of our sin upon himself. And Lord, we believe in that and that God raised Jesus from the dead. And he ever lives to intercede on our behalf. There's but one mediator between God and man, and it is the man Christ Jesus, who is a God-man. And so, Lord, from this point forward, we follow you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only he can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.